Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hello, hello, dear listener. Welcome back once again. Welcome to episode 10 of the Confidence Alchemist radio show with me, your host, Keith Blakemore-Noble, the Confidence Alchemist, helping you to transform your deepest fears and phobias into your greatest strengths. Now, my guest today is a fantastic gentleman that I've had the good fortune to be able to connect with recently. If you've seen the information about this, you'll know this already. He's a gentleman called Nick, and he will be joining us very shortly. We're having a slight technical problem today. We've got a slight technical hitch. His machine isn't able to connect into the show at the moment, which is a bit of a problem. But hey, we will still find a way to get this to work. His name's Nick Bradley. He's the founder of Mandala Leaders, and I believe, looking at the dashboard, it looks as though Nick has just managed to connect. Are you there, Nick?
Good evening, Keith. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. It's a real pleasure to be here with you this evening.
Fantastic to have you here, Nick. I'm glad you managed to get connected in the end. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick is now in the house. Excellent. So Nick is going to be talking with us all about his Zero to Authentic Hero, which he's going to be sharing some of the tips from that, some of the experience. He's also going to be sharing some of the background to it that proves that this stuff does work. It's not just something that's been made up. He's going to establish the track record, the pedigree, if you like, of exactly what he's sharing with us. And it would be fantastic if you could also join in the show. There's a couple of ways you can do that. You can call in. If you're in the US, you can call in on our guest line, 646-787-1676. Or you can go to theconfidencealchemist.com/radio show, and on there you'll find this particular episode of the show, and you'll be able to put your comments down at the bottom of the page there. And that's probably the best route if you're not in the US, because otherwise it will cost you a fair amount phoning the US line. So go to theconferencealchemist.com/radio show. There you'll be able to find this show. In fact, you may well be listening from there already. I know a lot of people do listen from that site. And at the bottom of that page, you will see a section where you can post your comments. And I will be keeping an eye on that. And any comments that come up there, I'll do my best to share them with Nick. So, now that's out of the way, Nick, welcome. Glad to have you here. How is life with you?
Good, thank you, Keith. Very good at the moment. It's been an interesting mix of the summer months so far, with a number of different coaching clients. We're working with some individuals, some small teams, and some larger groups. And it's been really nice to have that mix of business to see the different perspectives that each of those bring.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. So tell us, just for someone who hasn't come across Nick so far, who is Nick? What does he do? Who does he help, and how does he help them?
Okay, sure. Well, my background is actually 20 years in investment banking, and that was a really interesting experience, driven, hard, money-orientated experience, and that leads to good results. But it does also lead to fatigue and burnout for many people. And to be honest, I got tired of it. So I went into management consultancy and coaching. And I learned coaching whilst I was actually in banking. I approached it from the same perspective as I would sport. I played rugby for 30 years and many other sports, cricket amongst others as well. And I decided to use a coaching method in my business within the bank. And after a year of doing that, we were the best performing team. And everyone was happy working there. Everyone was getting what they wanted out of the organization, what they needed personally, they're being personally fulfilled. And we were also achieving great results. So that kind of taught me that this is the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
Every good sports person has their own coach. Every great sports team has their own coach. Why doesn't it happen in business? So that's what I've been doing with Mandala Leaders. I'm going to take coaching into businesses to help leaders and their teams achieve much better results whilst being personally fulfilled as well.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. So you're, just remind me, how long have you been doing this with Mandala Leaders itself?
Well, Mandala Leaders itself has been going for about 4 years. I've been coaching for various businesses on my own for 10 or 12 years now.
Nice, got it. So you lived this stuff before you went ahead up and set this all up. Because you're one of the you're the founder of Mandala Leaders, is that correct?
Sorry, I'm founder of Mandala Leaders. That's right.
Yeah.
And alongside me, I have my good friend Daniel, who mm-hmm. does more of the marketing and branding piece for businesses and individuals. And Julie, who specialises in helping women, coaching for women in the boardroom. So it's a really nice mix. And we have slightly different approaches. And sometimes we work together on team remits. And sometimes we work one-on-one with our clients.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome. Now, I know you've called this, or we've called this Zero to Authentic Hero. That's kind of your thinking. Tell us a little bit about that. What does it mean, and how? Why is it important?
Well, I found that for many years, whilst I was in business, I was still living with beliefs about myself that weren't actually true.
Mm-hmm.
I believed that I wasn't good enough, or that I wasn't able to do these things, or didn't have the right amount of confidence to deliver what was required. And I used to get frustrated with that. But actually, those beliefs were just ones that were I picked up on my journey over the years. I picked up as a child, as I picked up as I was growing up. And I reinforced those beliefs to myself for many years, and I came to the realization that they're simply not true. So therefore, being authentic is being authentic to myself and to me and who I truly am without carrying along those false beliefs. So being authentic is being truly yourself and not necessarily what you've picked up from others or what others might have told you about yourself in the past, which is just a story. So being authentic is about being true to yourself and being the best you that you can be.
I like that. I love that definition of authentic as well. It's a word we hear bandied about a lot these days, but I really do like your definition of it there. So
thank you. I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Awesome. So I know you work a lot with leaders, business leaders, company leaders, this sort of thing. It sounds a bit strange. I mean, do leaders actually have a lack of confidence? I mean, surely leaders, by their definition, they're going to be supremely confident.
Well, that's what many people would imagine. And actually, there is a fine tipping point, isn't there, at the other end of the confidence scale between mm-hmm. confidence and arrogance. And many leaders, the big alpha males, typically, do come across verging on that arrogant space. And they tend to get things done. They tend to be quite successful, but they don't tend to carry their teams with them. They don't tend to have groups of people who really want to work with a leader like that in the long term. And they mm-hmm. tend to drive themselves so hard that they can burn out in their middle age and not have a long and successful career, which would otherwise be possible. But we did some research over the summer, and we spoke to a number of leaders who are good friends of ours across London, New York, San Francisco, and we asked them a number of questions. And it was the leaders who were coming back and telling us that they have a lack of confidence. So let me give you an example. 8 out of 10 of the leaders we spoke to said that they'd be more confident if they had more clarity of what it is they needed to do. And that's because many leaders are promoted into a role, or the environment in their business changes, or especially through the financial recession we've had over many years now. Things change. How do you react to that? What do you do? What's your new strategy? And many leaders, 8 out of 10 leaders, are telling us that until they have clarity on what they need to do or what their plan is, it's very difficult for them to have confidence in the delivery of that and confidence in themselves personally. So one of our leaders said to us that the one reason he will get improved confidence is by having much improved clarity in the business, those are his words. So having clarity for what you are doing and what others are doing removes the barriers to greater confidence. So that's one of the key messages we had in our research. We were also told that the amount of time that leaders spend on their personal development was surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Some leaders don't spend any time trying to improve themselves. They say they have a lack of confidence, yet they're not doing anything about it.
Yeah. Huh. How's that working out for them?
Exactly. So actually what we're finding is that only 25% of leaders, 25% of leaders make commitments for certain development opportunities in their plan for the year. So at the start of the year, only 25% of leaders say to themselves, right, I have got this skill gap, or I need this new set of tools, or I need to improve my presentation skills or my confidence or whatever it is, and only 25% of them go and do something about it.
Wow. Any idea out of this 25% who actually identify they need to do something? Any idea how many of them follow through with that commitment? Because it's one thing to say, I need to do this. It's another thing to actually go out and do it. So do most of them do it, or do quite a portion of them fall by the wayside as well?
Well, the majority of that 25% actually told us that they only respond to ad hoc opportunities. I.e., if something pops up on their mail or they see an advert for something which is appropriate for them, I said to myself I needed to do that, I might go and do it. So very few of them actually proactively reach out and search on Google or look on YouTube or buy a book or hire a coach. I'll say that I'm a coach. Or hire a coach to actually proactively take their own personal development forward. And that really surprised me. It really surprised me what a small percentage it was of leaders who go and do that. And I think part of it is because being in, certainly in big businesses, in alpha businesses that I've worked in, putting your hand up and saying you don't know something is seen as a sign of weakness.
Yeah. And that is so true.
But I don't think that's necessarily the case, especially when you've just been promoted into a role. How can you be expected to know everything on day one?
Exactly. Yeah.
How can your boss expect you to be the best person in that job ever on at the end of the first 10 days?
Yeah.
And so therefore, by putting your hand up and saying, I have a plan to get from where I am today to A to B in 12 months or 18 months or whatever it is, and what I need to do that are certain resources. I might need more people, I might need more money, I might need better IT, I might need some personal development to get there.
Yeah.
And actually, that's often seen as a courageous thing to do in a large business, but with a sensible boss who understands that everyone benefits from that, you can certainly move forward in your personal development far more easily. But the business has to be receptive to that, and that can only come from the top.
Absolutely, yeah. You're right. Has to be top down driven. Otherwise, it doesn't stand a chance. But those stats that you gave me, though, that's I can't get over that. So 8 out of 10 leaders say they lack confidence due to clarity, but only 1 in 4 leaders make any sort of commitment to doing something about it, developing their personal development. And even out of those 1 in 4 leaders, the majority of those only end up doing something if an opportunity happens to fall into their laps.
That's the research that came from our survey earlier this summer, yes. And it was really surprising. But the one thing that also became clear is that if you're lacking in confidence, it actually takes a degree of courage to step forward and to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And those who don't have the courage to do so, I'm not saying it's easy, but those who don't have the courage to do so will remain in that state of low confidence indefinitely. So it's a case of building courage is maybe by just taking a small step, just taking that first little step to find a coach or to watch an online video or read a book or get an online course. Mm-hmm. You can do it in private, you can learn something, you can build up a little degree of confidence, and once you've taken that first step, it's so much more easy to take the second, third, fourth, and fifth steps. but it does need a certain degree of courage to do that. Because all the tools and resources that you need are out there. It's just a case of looking for them.
Yeah, that is a very good point, a very good point. So, I mean, suppose someone were to come to you and say, hey, look, Nick, you know what? I haven't got the confidence I need to really excel in my business or to really help my business excel. What can you do for me? What sort of things could they do? In fact, what are there any things that our listeners could do to at least kind of kickstart them down that road so that they're ready to then work with you or whoever to really surge ahead with their development? What sort of things can they do?
Well, the first thing to do is to bring into awareness the reasons why you may have low confidence. Because if we continue as we are and we have these things going on in our subconscious, these beliefs about ourselves going on in our subconscious, we'll never be able to change them. It's a bit like the unknown unknowns.
Yes.
If you don't know what the blockers or barriers are, you're never going to change them. And so we'll have to bring those out into the light, into awareness, to see what they are, understand where they come from, where these beliefs or these barriers have come from. And only then can we start to change them. And the Mandala Leadership Process is a 7-step process to help leaders become truly authentic. And that actually has the changing of your beliefs as its very first step, bringing those beliefs into awareness and then changing those beliefs about yourself is the first thing to do. And it is a step, it is a big step, it's a courageous step to do. But it's after that tipping point, leaders can really progress, can really achieve more, can really fulfill their careers. And let's talk about that first step today, shall we? So changing your beliefs.
Yeah,
what are your leadership beliefs? How do you get beliefs about yourself? Well, I believe there's what's called the two-way ripple effect. And the two-way ripple effect is if you imagine you jump into the middle of a lake, a still lake, it's only waist deep, don't worry. and you create ripples on the water. Those ripples on the water ripple out and out and out from you in the center. But as they hit the outside of the lake, they start rippling back. And that's the two-way ripple effect. And each of those ripples, the outside ripples, are the beliefs and lessons about yourself that you've been taught by perhaps your wider community, your religious group, your school, wherever you've been. What did your teacher tell you about yourself? You'll amount to nothing, young man. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you come a step closer in, or a ripple closer in, it's what about the people you've worked with and the bosses that you've worked with over the years? And how many of those said you're amazing, and how many of those said something different? And as you get a step closer in, or a ripple closer into the middle of the lake, to where you're standing, you know, coming in closer to your good self, what is it you've learned from your family? Your father, your mother, particularly if you work in a family business, or your boss as well. And what lessons have they taught you over the years? Did you always get everything right, and were you always brilliant, or were you criticized or put down and you started to believe that everything you did wasn't going to be good enough? And you can see how those rippling attitudes towards you, or those rippling comments that have been made towards you over the years, will start to create a mindset or a series of beliefs, which may be positive or negative. And then the danger is that if you get into that negative mindset, every time you perceive that you failed at something, it simply reinforces that belief.
Yes, yes.
So it's a bit like, so one of mine, for example, is I can't believe anyone's name. I can't remember anyone's name. And because I forgot someone's name once, it was embarrassing, and I told myself I couldn't remember anyone's name. So now every time I meet someone, I go, I won't remember your name. Guess what happens? I don't remember anyone's name.
Funny how that works.
Quite simple. Yeah, exactly. It's really quite simple. But if I could, or if I can now, actually, I found a way to do it. It's a great technique to do. Change that mindset to, I will remember your name, and I will, every time I see you, I will call you by your name, because I'll be proud to have remembered it. So that, you know, it's just a different mindset, but it had to be made aware to me that I was bad at remembering names before I chose to do something about it. And some beliefs you'll have is, I always have to be on time. That's a belief I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where that one came from. And I forget people's names. I know where that one came from. But some people will have, or some leaders will have, beliefs that they're not confident, because every time they try to do something, it's been perceived as failure.
Yeah. So
therefore, why should I try? Because I'll fail.
Yeah. Is it as simple as just sort of saying to yourself, oh, okay, I used to believe I can't remember someone's name. Now I know I can remember the name. Surely there's more to it than that?
Yeah. It's not that simple. I don't believe you can simply put a positive belief on top of a negative belief.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you have to clear the negative belief out of the way first. So just standing in front of the mirror and, you know, chanting a mantra to yourself every morning, or bouncing up and down a trampoline, or whatever it is that, you know, serves you in some positive thought, I don't believe that works.
I'm with you on that, to be honest. It just does not seem to work at all. You're right.
I think you have to bring that negative belief into awareness and clear that mm-hmm. negative belief before you can start to reinsert positive ones.
Right. How could one go about clearing those negative beliefs? I mean, is that something that's simple to do, or is that something that takes a little bit of work with maybe a coach or an expert like that? What's sort of involved?
So it takes a bit of work with the coach. There are processes that mm-hmm. you can go through. But the first thing is to bring those beliefs into awareness. And as part of the show today, Keith, I'm quite happy to offer any of the listeners access to the first step of this process for free. They can read through the more detail of this. And there's a mm-hmm. worksheet that they can work through as well to try and get a better understanding of their beliefs and what might be limiting them from having the confidence that they need.
Oh, fantastic! That's a very generous offer, and we'll give people full details of how to access that. We'll give them that just toward the end of the show. But that's Nick very kindly let me have a wee sneak preview of the document earlier today, and it is very good. It is very powerful. So and it's very good of him to actually share that with us. So we'll give you all the details on how to get that. Toward the end of the show today, but stick around for that. You're definitely going to want to get hold of that. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's one of the things I believe that actually it does take courage to take action, as I said earlier on. But each of the seven steps in the Mandala Leaders process has an action at the end of it. And by reading and understanding more and then taking that action, and it's only a small one to start with, the first step doesn't have to be huge, but just taking that action is a huge step forward. It is progress and will help to build confidence.
Yeah, you're right. So it all starts with taking that. It's like that whole the proverb, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. But that first step, you're right, it doesn't have to be a very big one either, just to get you started, does it?
Absolutely right. And in fact, the first step doesn't necessarily need to be in exactly the right direction. If your goal is to get from A to B and you're going mm-hmm. you know, straight ahead, think of it as if you're like an aeroplane.
Yeah.
If you're flying from London to New York, do you go direct from London to New York? No, you go over the polar cap, because it's the quicker, most efficient route to do it. So whilst you still get to your goal in 7 hours, mm-hmm. you take a different route to get there. And all the way as you're flying there, the wind will be different. It'll be blowing you west or east. It'll be taking you up or down. It'll make you go slower or faster. And so you'll be moving around in the air all the way through that journey, and you won't be on a clean, straight route. But guess what? You'll be in New York 7 hours' time, and that was the goal of the flight. So you'll get there. So what I'm saying is, take a first step, and even if you're a few degrees off on your first step, that's great, because you're a step forward.
You know, that is a very, very good way of putting it. So I guess for a lot of people, they go, okay, I know I've got to make a step, but what if I make the wrong step? What if I head in the wrong way? And so basically what you're saying is, just take a step, because once you've started... It's kind of easier to change your direction when you're moving than to change direction when you stood still. So even if your first step is in the wrong direction, at least you're moving. You'll now know that you need to change into a different direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other travel that sporting analogy that I like is when you're sailing. I was sailing over the weekend, load of fun with a actually we had eight coaches on a boat actually. We were all joking that we were all going to be asking each other how you would like to sail the boat as opposed to actually sailing it. but no, we got sailing and we found it so much easier when we were moving for the rudder to move to change direction. When you're doing very slowly, the moving the rudder doesn't make any difference, and you continue to travel slowly in possibly the wrong direction. But when you start to accelerate the pace, it's far more easy to change direction and to be more agile and to change more quickly and to adapt as you go. But you still got to get moving. You still got to take that first step.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I mean, it's bringing to mind I can't remember the exact figure, so I'm bound to get this wrong, but it's the principle is a thing. Very recently it was the 48th anniversary of the first Apollo moon landing. And one of the really interesting stats, or I found it really interesting when I first heard it, was the Apollo 11 craft. It was something like, I can't remember the figure, but it was something like 1% of the time it was actually on course. All the rest of the time, it was actually flying off course and they had to keep course correcting the whole way. So, but the important thing was they were moving, they were heading. You make those slight course corrections, see where you're going, adjust, see where you're going, adjust. But you've got to be going to start with. If they hadn't launched, they wouldn't be able to correct course and they wouldn't have landed on the moon. So same as with your sailing analogy there.
Absolutely, absolutely, very much the same, Keith. And it brings me quite nicely on to the second thing I wanted to talk about, which is actually having a clear plan.
Ooh. Go for it.
So if you have a clear plan, you know what your goal looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a financial target. It might be a number of satisfied customers. It might be volume of deliveries made. It might be personal. And it doesn't matter what the goal is, but let's have a goal. And let's write that goal down. And let's be smart about that goal. So let's make sure it's specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound, i.e. we're going to do exactly this number of things in this way in 1 year, and we've got the appropriate resources that we need to do that, resources being time, money, people, IT, whatever it is. And therefore, it's a clearly achievable goal. And if you set a goal that's not achievable, the level of confidence people are going to have is very low. And getting from a low starting point is quite difficult. So actually, sometimes you have to set a goal that's more easily achievable, and people go, yeah, actually, we can do that. It's an immediate confidence boost.
Right, okay.
But to have that goal clearly defined and agreed upon is the first part of making a plan.
Yeah.
Because then you have to build your steps towards achieving that goal. So what is your first step? And your first step might be a small one. It might be slightly at a tangent. That's okay. It's a step. And then what's your second step that's a bit bigger? And what's your third step that's a bit bigger? And, you know, 6 or 7 steps to get to your goal. Doesn't need to be more than that, because otherwise it gets too complicated and people won't remember it. But you need to have a clear direction of travel, a clear route, a clear series of steps to get to where you're going to be, to what that goal is. And when you've got a plan, it's a lot easier to go into the office in the morning because you know what you're going to do. There's
well,
none
yeah,
of this, oh, I'm not sure I'm doing the right thing, or whether I should be doing that way, or whether so-and-so should be doing it, and I'm not sure. You know, it's just, that's the step. Let's go do it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense there. Reminds me of a thing, to-do lists. I went through a phase of going, right, I'm going to create my to-do list at the start of the week so I know what I'm going to be doing through the week. And of course, you then spend the whole of Monday attempting to create your to-do list. Now, what do I need to do? Until somebody said to me, you know what, write your to-do list on Friday afternoon. What?
Friday afternoon.
So you come in on Monday morning, the first thing you do, oh, that's the first thing I'm doing. It's on my to-do list, bam, and you're straight into doing your work.
Absolutely. And the other thing I teach my clients to do is to look at what's the most horrible, gnarly, scary thing on that to-do list and do that first.
Really? Do that first?
Yeah, do that first. Otherwise, it's so easy to put it off, procrastinate, leave it to Friday afternoon. Then he goes, it's the next week's list, and it never gets done. But if you do it first, the sense of achievement, the sense of accomplishment, and the amount of confidence that can be built by doing that is quite amazing.
Oh, right. So you're basically kind of getting this, find the most horrible one and get it over and done with, so that from then on everything else is easier, more enjoyable, and you've got that, hey, I did that thing. I was hating the idea of it, and I've done it anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. And once you've got over the big, horrible, gnarly, scary animal with big teeth, which is the first thing that you need to do on a Monday morning, it's so much easier to deal with the smaller things. You just kind of knock those over relatively easily. But also just give yourself an hour at a time. So I'm going to do 1 hour on this thing and see what progress I make. And I'll just commit the hour to it. And when you're that committed to it, it'll be amazing how much you can actually achieve.
Oh, right. So you don't say, right, I'm gonna do this thing until it's complete. You say, right, I'm going to devote the next hour to this thing and then crack on as much as you can.
And then at the end of the hour, sit back and review and think, look, where was I at 9 o'clock at the start of the day? Well, I hadn't even started now at 10 o'clock. Oh, my God, I've made some good progress here. Oh, wow, I understand the situation far better. I understand the problem that we're trying to face. I've already had some ideas how we're going to solve it. I've already asked help from two people to do that. This is feeling much better.
Oh, right. I get it. Yeah, so you've got a milestone, so it's not like a millstone around your neck. God, I'm going to be working on this problem for the next 6 weeks. It's I'm doing an hour on this. Okay, an hour isn't too long. Even if it's something I hate, I can do it for an hour. End of the hour, you review where you are, and you're going, oh, actually, I made a reasonable amount of progress on this. Hey, this is not as bad as I was feeling.
I was given a great piece of advice once, which is really what I'm saying here. When I had a big, gnarly problem and I didn't know how to handle it, and it was so big, it was carrying in front of me, it was blocking out the sunlight from my vision. And the question that was asked of me was, how do you eat an elephant?
How do you eat an elephant?
One leg at a time.
Nice. Nice. Yep.
So don't try and swallow the whole big animal in one go. Just break a bit off
and
tackle that bit first. And once you've done that, after your first hour or whatever it is, you'll feel you made so much more progress and had a better way. And you've learned how to tackle the next leg and the third leg and the fourth leg.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. So basically, have a plan. Make sure your plan is, well, make it a smart plan. Was the word you used? Specific, measurable, achievable.
Achievable, realistic, and time-bound.
Time-bound, yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Keith. I have a template for a plan which sets this out. I'm going to add that onto onto the gift that I'm giving away to other listeners of the show today, because I think that's so important. Unless you have a plan and you document it and you write it down and you get others to buy into it and you ask for help and support, people's time or resources to do it, you're never going to get there. So let me give that as a free download as well. Let me give everyone who's listening the template for a plan.
That is fantastic. That's adding value right there. And as I mentioned earlier, Nick very kindly let me have a look at what he's prepared for you all, and that was not in it. So this is fantastic. Bring it on. Let's see if we can get more in. But yeah, we'll give you all the details on how to get all of that stuff toward the end of the show, and because I know Nick has got a few more bits to nuggets of wisdom to share with us before then. Just a quick reminder: you're listening to the Confidence Alchemist Radio Show with me, the Confidence Alchemist, Keith Blakemore-Noble, and my very special guest today, Nick, who is sharing with us his Zero to Authentic Hero process, which he's come up with. He founded the Mandala Leaders Group, and he works with a lot of leaders to really help them build up their confidence. And if you've got any questions that you want to put to Nick, any comments you want to make, go to theconfidencealchemist.com/radio show. click on the top link that's on there. That's Nick Bradley's episode, the episode you're listening to right now. And at the bottom of the page that takes you to, you'll be able to pop in some comments, pop them in there, and any comments that come up, I'll be able to share them with Nick. So, yeah, we're entering it down into about the last 20 minutes or so, Nick. I know you've got a fair amount to cover, so I will shut up now. What's next? We've decided we need to take our step. We have a plan. Now what?
The third thing that the leaders were telling us in the research that we did earlier in the summer, the third most important thing, which I wanted to talk about today, was to have clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just clarity for yourself, but it's clarity for the people that you work with, or for you and your family, or you and your friends, depending on which situation you're considering. But we're talking about leaders, we're talking about leaders of businesses, not-for-profit organizations, even sports clubs and teams. The same is applied across the lot, and we work with each of those brackets. We work with big businesses, small businesses, we work with charitable organizations, and we work with sports teams as well. And it's the same approach. And clarity is required for all of them. And because most people who are lacking in confidence don't have the confidence to do something because they're not quite sure what it is they need to do. And that was clearly coming out in the research that we did. And once you've got your plan, as we've been talking about, it's how you communicate that plan to others, how you can do that really clearly so that everyone knows exactly what they need to do and why that's important to create and achieve the overall goal. Again, back on the sailing analogy from the weekend, we had a crew of 8 people, 6 had never sailed the boat before. And to make the boat go fast in the right direction and to keep it safe, there are lots of jobs that need to be done, from pulling halyards to pulling in sheets to steering the rudder to trimming the sails and lots of other things as well. But everyone had to have a clear understanding of what their specific task was and how that would help the achievement of the whole boat going in the right direction safely. And what would happen if they didn't do that, what the potential outcome or disaster was going to be. And it's a bit like the great example of when the president went to NASA to look at the space rocket that was going to launch the first man to the moon. And he was walking around and he was seeing all these engineers and all these astronauts who had a really clear view of what it is they were doing and why it was so important. And then he saw a chap who was sweeping the floor. And he asked the guy who was sweeping the floor, "What is it you do here?" And his answer was, "I helped get a man on the moon." Because he understood quite clearly, that his job, however large or small, however important or others that some might perceive it, was all contributing towards the overall goal.
Yeah, nice.
And so it's giving clarity to everyone in your team or your business or your group or your church group or your sports team or whatever it is as to why it's important that they do their task and how that contributes towards the overall goal. So that has to be communicated clearly. You have to make sure that the people you're asking to do that task understand exactly what it is they're being asked to do and why.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure they've got the necessary skills and resources to do that, or you help upskill them, or you help change their resources, or you encourage them to find a different way to tackle their resources. And one of the great quotes I like, it's not the resources you have, it's how resourceful you are with them.
Oh, I like the sound of that one. Say that one again, just so our listener catches it.
It's not necessarily how resourceful you are. Sorry, it's not necessarily the resources you have, it's how resourceful you are with them.
It's not the resources you have, it's how resourceful you are with them. Nice. That is a great distinction there. I like that.
So asking everyone to understand the wider impacts of what they're doing and ask them and encourage them to seek the support from others. No, we don't have to silo everyone into this is your task, this is what you do and why.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a collaborative approach.
Right, yes.
And when you find that some people are good at some things and some people are less good at others, then maybe change the roles around to get the best out of each person or help upskill them and train them so they can learn what it is they need to do.
Yeah.
And some people like to be told in words, some people like to have it in writing, some people like to look at pictures. So when you're communicating, don't assume that everyone you're communicating this plan to will understand it in the same way you understand it, through the same medium, through talking or reading or looking at pictures. Make sure that you give the people the option so they can understand it in different ways.
Absolutely. That's bringing back some awful memories of a particularly bad manager that I had the good fortune to learn under, shall we say, several years ago. God, yeah, you're absolutely right. He had his way of doing things, representing things. His was very much picture based, and those of us who weren't really good at visualizing stuff. God, we just could not get what he was driving at. We were unable to share our stuff with him, and it was a nightmare. Yeah, you're right there. It really is important to communicate your stuff clearly to your team in a way that they can all understand. And as you say, some use pictures, some use words, some use yeah. Oh God, that was an awful memory to bring back there. You're right.
How can you expect your team or your organization to have confidence in what they're doing if they don't quite understand it? And it's only because you've not communicated it in the way they need to hear it.
Yes. Yeah.
And the other thing is that clarity is needed only after considering all the moving parts and people. For example, instead of imposing your plan, it's worth it's worth taking a coaching approach to the team and asking mm-hmm. them how they might think they want to go about doing it and what they can bring to the party and what resources they have and skills that they have and what part of that plan would they like to work on. And that might actually flush out some problems that you're not even aware of because it's in the other office or it's in the other department or it's in manufacturing or suppose, you know, the bit that you do. But uh-huh. It might also bring forward some other creative ideas that you haven't thought of yourself. And by getting the people to contribute what they think they can do and how they might do it into the overall plan, mm-hmm. it will have much greater clarity for everyone, may actually come up with some better ideas to do things quicker, cheaper, better, and also everyone will build confidence that they can do it because they took the idea in the first place.
Oh, right. Yes, yeah, so you're getting them more involved, getting them more enrolled in the whole thing.
Hmm. So it's the way you communicate it isn't just telling, it's also asking for their contribution, their input. So they will buy into it more. They might come up with better, more creative ideas. I don't consider myself that creative a person, so I go and talk to a creative person, and they come up with sometimes some weird and wacky off-the-wall ideas, of course. But sometimes, we can't do that, but actually it makes me think we could do it that way. Brilliant, thank you so much.
Nice. So here's a question that's just sprung to mind, and this may be out with the kind of scope of what we're talking about. But so suppose you create your plan, you then share the plan with your team, and you invite them for their input and their feedback and suggestions. Inevitably, there's going to be a time where somebody makes a suggestion and it's either not feasible, not appropriate, or it conflicts with another. For whatever reason, their suggestion can't be incorporated. And they kind of take it personally and, well, what was even the point in asking me if you're just going to ignore everything I said? How can you kind of turn that around so you don't lose that person? Is there anything that can be done there, or is that completely beyond the scope of what we're looking at here?
I think what has to be done before you ask for people's input is to outline the bigger picture and mm-hmm. share the limitation of resources or to share the time frame in which you have to operate and then ask them for their contributions within that remit or within those limitations. Because if you say, look, we've got a year to deliver this, and someone says, well, we can build a new machine, it'll take us 10 years to do it, I mean, that's not actually going to help.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's being clear on the goal, and the goal is specific and it's measurable and it is time-bound, and there are limited resources to deliver it. And so therefore, within those parameters, what are the great ideas that you can bring forward? How we can tweak this by 1 or 2%, or how we can change that system so it's, you know, takes half the time, whatever it is, within those clear parameters. And you're less likely to be in the situation that you outline where people are going to feel disenfranchised because, yes, you've asked them for an idea, and then you just said no. So it has to be very clearly structured, clearly framed, mm-hmm. when you're having the conversation, so that the people in the team have a really clear understanding of the limitations. But they can't be too restricted because you want to encourage some creativity too.
Got it. So it really is about being totally firm on your plan, having a absolute understanding of every component of your plan, having total clarity and communicating the clarity of the requirements and any limitations, etc., up front before you start looking for input. So again, it's all around clarity. It's absolutely essential to have that clarity.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because the lack of clarity is the one big blocker to confidence. So if you can build clarity, you can build confidence, both for yourself and for your team.
Yeah, from what you've been saying, clarity is kind of essential at all steps of the way. It's not just a step. Oh, we need to have clarity, and we need to have it's basic clarity is kind of underpins so much of all the rest of it. Clarity at every step of the way. Which makes
it's not just the creative ideas you want to get back out of your team. There will be some people in the team who might sound like they're a bit negative and might sound like they're a bit dour, but it's because they've tried things in the past and not succeeded, and therefore they know the limitations of the IT system that you have, or they know the amount of load that this lorry can carry, and you're trying to come up with ideas. And sometimes you have to listen to them and take on board their feedback as well, even though it might sound like it's discouraging from the overall goal, because there will be limitations and there will be restrictions, unless you want to spend a whole load of money and build a new IT system, but that's not going to happen overnight either, you know. So there will be restrictions. You have to bear those in mind, but take them as, you know, they are, whilst it might not sound it, because they're often, you can't do this or you can't do that, they're actually positive contributions to the overall. So you're not wasting time, effort, money, and other resources to try and do something that is impossible. So again, if you frame it correctly and you set the situation up clearly, you can then get better ideas, and people will understand the restrictions, and then you just have to find a way around them or over them or through them.
Got it. Okay. So so if somebody's coming up with, seems to be just coming up with objection after objection, don't just dismiss them as, oh, they're not a team player, they're just being negative, but figure out, where are they coming from with this? Is this just they're not engaged with this, or do they actually have genuine concerns which they are bringing to the project?
Absolutely, but it might also be that they're the one who has the least confidence in the room, and therefore they just keep coming up with reasons not to even try because they believe they'll fail. Having some empathy for that person. And sitting with them one-on-one and trying to understand exactly why they're coming from that mindset might be helping them as much as it's helping you.
Nice, yeah. There's a lot to consider when you're a leader. There's a lot more than many would think. Wow.
So we've talked about the three key things. We've talked about the beliefs that you have and how you can perhaps clear those.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about having a good, clear, smart plan and taking the first step.
Yes.
And we've talked about having real clarity on that plan and clarity on communicating that plan across the team and engaging the team and getting their input and contribution and buy-in towards the overall plan too.
That is a lot that we've gone through, actually. A lot there. And I've been scribbling notes like mad here. I've got to say, I've got a lot out of this, Nick. I know a question that many people will have is, okay, well, this is fantastic. What next? How can I find out more? How can I take the next step? What, Nick, help me. How can I get in touch with you and find out more? So for our listeners, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you and find out more?
Great. Well, the best way to do more would be to have a look at the website. which is www.mandalaleaders.com.
Okay.
And on the homepage of mandalaleaders.com, there's a little sign-in box. So you register your name and your email address in there. You will get by return a link to the preview of the online course, which will talk about the beliefs, and I'll add on the plan template, as we were talking about as well. I'll add that on straight away. So anyone who signs up this evening will get access to both of those. Then all my contact details are on the website as well, or the online course you can subscribe for if you wish, and that will take you through all 7 steps, of which we've only talked about 3 briefly tonight.
Yeah. So, and that excuse me, that's the package which you mentioned earlier on that you're very kindly offering. They get that when they sign up there. So
just by signing up on www.mandalaleaders.com, sign up there, and you'll get an email straight back from me with a link through to the description, the topics about the beliefs, the worksheet about the beliefs, so you have much better clarity of understanding about your own self-limiting beliefs and bring those into awareness, as we were talking about earlier on the show. And I'm also just going to add on the template for your plan, which will give you clear goals and the steps towards achieving those goals.
Yeah.
So those are my gifts to the listeners tonight, and I hope you enjoy those. I hope they create some value for you. And then do please be in touch. We can help more. Subscribe to the online program, and we do one-on-one coaching as well from the team, which we can do face-to-face or over Skype.
Fantastic, fantastic. And I would urge everyone listening to this, go to the site. And just a reminder of the site, it is www.mandalaleaders.com. Go there, pop in your name and email address. You will get that link straight away. And the material that Nick's giving away free in there, it is very good quality stuff. I've seen a lot of different freebies that are given away in all sorts of places. The stuff that Nick's offering here is very good value. You will get a lot out of it. And I can't wait to see that extra bit that he just decided to add during this show. Sign up there and have a look around the rest of his site as well, mandalaleaders.com, and get in touch with Nick. Find out what how he can help you to gain greater clarity, to change, resolve your beliefs, and basically just to become the confident leader that you know you really need to be. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you, Nick. I've got one question which springs to mind. The name Mandala Leaders, where did that come from? Because ever since you told me that name, I've been thinking, I must ask him, how did he come up with that name? I like that name. Where did it come from?
Thank you. Of course. Well, a mandala is actually an ancient Sanskrit word for a picture of the universe. And what we're doing here is really taking ancient wisdom and just turning it into a modern business environment. So the mandala is a picture. It's an image of the direction in which I and the company are traveling. We know where we're going.
Yeah,
it's the map. It's our plan, effectively. And I just like the imagery around the concentric circles,
which are
on the logo, because as you start to look inside at your own beliefs, you start on the outer layers and you work your way into what's really going on inside for you. And you find that center of your universe, which is your belief set, your value set, and you can grow and improve those, but only once you've tapped into them in a real authentic way.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I've seen a few mandalas, and you're right. There's something about them, and yeah, I just wondered where the name came from, because it's a beautiful name and it conjures up a lot of imagery. And now you've explained where it comes from, I completely get it. That's as close as you can get to being perfect for a name capturing a company's spirit and ethos, I guess. That's really cool.
So mandala is an ancient Sanskrit picture of the universe, and it drives into that central focal point of for the leaders to look inside of themselves.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So, hey, what's next for Nick? What's you? I mean, I have no doubt whatsoever you have got a very detailed plan mapping out what's coming up next for Nick. But anything big coming up on the horizon in years to come? Where do you see yourself taking things?
Well, actually, the online course that we're offering the introduction to today is new. That's just being launched at the moment. So that would be great. And we're reaching that out across the UK and the US because we have spaces in London, New York and San Francisco. So we're driving the push for that over the summer months. And as we're doing that, I'm also writing a book. So by the end of the year, we'll have a book published, which will be a similar set of exercises, but lots of different stories from our clients, lots of case studies and anecdotes that readers can connect with. And some of my journey will be in there as well, which some people keep telling me they want to hear. So that will be out before the end of the year, and that will be helping people to reframe their plans and their goals through to 2018.
Nice. And, you know, I knew when I was asking the question, I knew you would have an answer because planning, it's what you're all about. And that's some cool stuff. I'm going to be looking forward to that book when it comes out. Do you have a tentative publication date and name for it yet, or is that still in development?
I think it should be the back end of September or early October. And it will be Zero to Authentic Hero. That will be the title.
Brilliant title. And of course, I'm assuming anybody who signs up to get the information from your site, mandalaleaders.com, and gets the free amazing package that you put together, I'm assuming you'll keep us all updated with the progress of the book and let us know when it comes out.
Absolutely, I'd be delighted to. And the reason we're doing that, actually, is because when we set the business up 4 years ago, and really up until now, we've been doing one-on-one and one-on-team coaching, which has helped us to reach a certain number of people and, you know, have some great successes for themselves and their businesses. But what we haven't been able to do, simply because there's only three of us and there's only so much time in the day, is to reach a much wider audience. So by delivering the online course and the book, we're hopefully can reach far greater audiences and lots more people can get the value from the programs.
Brilliant. Beautiful. Well, I'm afraid, Nick, our time is once again up. An hour seems far too short these days. I know there's a lot more that we could be talking about. Perhaps we'll get an opportunity at another point. But either way, I just want to thank you for taking the time to join me on this, Nick. I've learned a lot, and I know our listeners will have got a lot too. And just a quick reminder to everyone who's listening, to find out more about Nick, to get that amazing free package that he's put together for us, go to www.mandalaleaders.com. Just pop your name and email address in there, and he'll get that package straight across to you. Nick, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Keith, thank you so much for inviting me onto the show. It's been amazing to join you here. And if you've got 30 seconds, I can just leave you with one other thought.
Go for it.
If you're feeling that you're still struggling with your confidence, score yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. And if you're, say, 6 out of 10 confident, then you could ask yourself what it would take to get to an 8. What do you need to do to get to an 8? But also ask yourself this, if you're a 6 out of 10, ask yourself why you're not a 4. And think why what you've done, what you've achieved already, what progress you've made, and how amazing you've done well to get to that 6. And keep going from there.
Perfect. Perfect way to end the show there, Nick. Love that thought. Once again, Nick, thank you so much for joining us. excuse me, everybody, remember to go to mandalaleaders.com. Sign up for the free package that Nick's got there. I will be back in 2 weeks' time with another fantastic guest. You can find out more at theconfidencealchemist.com/radio show. You'll find out. Find all the upcoming and previous episodes there. Check out theconfidencealchemist.com while you're around there. And if you're on Facebook, pop along to the Confidence Alchemist Facebook page, facebook.com/theconfidencealchemist. Give me a like there. And you will also find Mandala Leaders on Facebook. Give them a like too. That's everything for now. Thank you so much for joining me. And I will catch you again in 2 weeks' time. Until then, take care. Look after yourselves and remember that change is always possible. And when you change your mind, you change your life. Thank you. Bye for now.